Ladies and gentlemen, our first case for argument this morning is Top Tobacco against North Atlantic. Mr. Bergen.
May it please the court, my name is Charles Bergen. I'm counsel for the plaintiff, appellant, Top Tobacco LP and Republic Tobacco LP. Because a jury verdict of infringement based on the evidence in the record could readily be affirmed here, Top LP submits that the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendants was an error. The Top mark is well established. It's been used for 106 years continuously. It's registered by Top LP and has been registered since at least the 1920s. North Atlantic acknowledges in the evidence that Top is one of the stronger, most widely sold, largest selling brands of cigarette tobacco in the marketplace. Until North Atlantic adopted Fresh Top as its mark in 2001, no one in the RYO-MYO market used any mark incorporating the word
market.
RYO-MYO.
If you would avoid acronyms, you would greatly help with generalists.
Okay. I appreciate that. And let me explain what this category is. There is obviously a market or a category of people who buy cigarettes. That's about 25%.
I think I can decode it as roll your own, make your own, but one should not talk in code.
I appreciate that, and I will do my best not to. The roll your own, make your own market is one where the Top mark is the leading mark. It is the leading seller of tobacco. It has had the leading market share, and that's something that Top's current owners have built up since they acquired those marks in 1987. In 2001, North Atlantic became the first entity to use Fresh Top, that is a mark incorporating Top, as their mark, again, with smoking tobacco in the roll-your-own, make-your-own market. Until that time, North Atlantic had distributed cigarette papers, and they have a well-known mark for that, Zig-Zag. And Zig-Zag has been around almost as long as Top, maybe longer, but always used for cigarette papers. Beginning with zero sales in 1999, North Atlantic has gone to a fairly small market share today, a fairly small portion of that category. Their own person said it might be as much as 5%. For the court's background, and this is in the record, the total roll-your-own, make-your-own market is about 3% of the total cigarette market. It's a fairly small market. However, it's something that the parties agree on. It's a category in the answer that NATC states. They admit that the parties compete in roll-your-own and make-your-own tobacco products. And in their Forms 10-K that they filed for the last 5 years at least, they concede that one of the three markets that they compete in is comprised of premium cigarette papers and MYO tobaccos and related products. With that as background, let's look at what evidence is there on the seven factors that this court has repeatedly said are the essence of establishing whether or not there's a likelihood of confusion. First, with regard to intent. Top put evidence in the record that North Atlantic views Top as its arch competitor. North Atlantic knew that Top was the best-selling brand in the roll-your-own, make-your-own business. North Atlantic admitted that through its corporate designee, Tom Helms III, it wanted to capture customers from Top. North Atlantic admitted...
I hope what you mean is it wanted to make sales to Top's customers.
I believe
capturing their customers would be the tort of false imprisonment.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. But it was their language, and we think it is. It helps to show their intent. North Atlantic knew there was nothing unique about Fresh or the Top in their Fresh Top. There are other alternatives that people have used in a variety of different contexts. There's Fresh Seal. Top itself uses Fresh Lock, Fresh Serve. If you look at Taster's Choice Coffee, they have a Fresh Click. If you don't like Fresh, there's Easy Open Flavor Seal that's used on peanuts, Snap-on lids on baby foods, Aroma Seals used on Folgers coffee. A host of products have managed to describe their system for sealing without using their competitor's trademark and without putting a little TM next to it to indicate that that is the source or affiliation that is being advertised. It's being put out there. The products, the second factor would be, are the products similar?
The basic question in all of these cases is whether there is good reason to think that customers are confused about the origin of the product.
Correct.
Now, what reason have we to think that any customer has ever been confused about the origin of these products?
You're asking about actual confusion, and there is no evidence in the record either way on the actual confusion point. That is one of seven factors. What we think the court did below was simply look at the trade dress and decide that based on the differences in the graphics on the label, it decided that someone who walks up to the product might not be confused, or might be confused by the way the two products look. But there are seven factors. This is tobacco. Ours is the same as theirs, and there's no functional distinction between them. In terms of the area and manner of use, the tobacco-bearing fresh top is the same and distributed through the same wholesalers and the same distributors as top tobacco. And back to your point, you know, who would be confused if you look simply at the trade dress and you see the graphics on the label are different? I noticed this morning. I have a bottle of Aquafina, and on the side of it, it says...
It certainly wouldn't be confused with top.
No, it wouldn't be confused with Pepsi-Cola either. It doesn't look like Pepsi-Cola. But on the side, right where the fresh top would be, it says, bottled under authority of PepsiCo, Inc. That use of the trademark designation on fresh top, on the can, repeatedly, can cause and should cause a consumer. It is a factor that will cause a consumer.
If it causes consumers any problem, presumably you would have evidence of that. And the thing that's most striking to me about the record, after looking at the pictures, which look to me like no fool could possibly be confused, it looks from the record like no fool ever has been confused.
The question is...
If there's been any confusion, it's the easiest thing in the world to show. Hard to quantify, but easy to show.
Let me address that two different ways. First, what we're concerned about here is their use of the name Fresh Top to describe their product, with a little TM next to it.
To describe their canister, anyway.
Well, it's on their product. They don't say
it's... It does not appear on their pouches, and I gather from their brief that it now doesn't appear on any of their products.
Apparently they've taken it off their can now that we are...
They've taken their cans off, that they now have a new enclosure.
That's,
is there any doubt about that?
We've seen that in the marketplace. There is no doubt about that. But what triggered this case, Your Honor, are the price lists that we received in December of 2005. And when you look at their price list and you look at our price list, you see these two are very similar.
Fine. If that's true, all you have to do is produce an affidavit from some middleman saying, I ordered this thinking I was getting top. And you haven't done that.
Your Honor, the case law is clear on actual confusion where there is no evidence. And remember, they haven't produced any surveys or any experts on actual confusion either.
Plaintiff.
I agree. But this case came up, there are seven factors to consider. And the factors include, how does it appear? It appears to direct purchasers on a price list, and if you look at page 6 of our reply brief, you will see their price list talks about a 6-ounce fresh top can.
Yes, I notice you've eliminated the heading of their price list, which prominently states who makes it.
The heading of their price list, Your Honor, says National Tobacco. The horizontal bars are blacked out, and the testimony in the record says that they're aware that it's blacked out, they know it's blacked out, and that they traditionally send it by fax. Why they did that is a question that a jury ought to decide. It should not be decided as a matter of law.
Mr. Bergen, but your primary concern about confusion is at the consumer level, right? As opposed to the middleman who's slightly more sophisticated as to volume purchases, I would assume.
Our concern is at all three levels. The consumer is clearly one. Somebody walks into Walgreens and says, hey, I want a 6-ounce can of fresh top. We want to know that they're going to get our product. But we're also concerned that the warehouseman working for the tobacco distributors, and these are not all sophisticated people, they're going to see that price list and they're going to say 6-ounce fresh top can. They're going to see that little trademark and they're going to think, hey, that could be something from Top LP.
But is there any evidence that anybody has done that?
No, I've stated there's not, Your Honor. But I've also...
Bergen, don't we have a case here where we have such dominant appearance of the trade dress? In other words, I appreciate that Fresh Top on Zigzag is perhaps to be compared with the bands that speak of Top Lock Seal and Top Gum Papers. But the dominance of the word top on your product versus the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line down where the copy first appears, isn't this the case? And I understand the other factors where trade dress is just so significant. I mean, on your theory, I guess that top just could never in any you had top and bottom somehow as arrows point to where you open the canister. You would question the use of an arrow that said top and bottom and suggested which way you open it.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting point, Judge Flom, because if you had fresh top actually at the top, if it actually pointed at the top, that might be less confusing. They put it on the front of the canister or on the side, much like they put PepsiCo on the side of this Aquafina. Nobody's going to confuse this for Pepsi-Cola, but they're going to think it comes from Pepsi-Cola. When you are making cigarettes and you look at the can and it says top, and not just the word top generically, it says fresh top TM. TM means
where. But it also says fresh top container.
No.
Canister.
Canister.
But it doesn't have the TM after canister either. The TM follows top, which is the best known trademark in the business. It would be the same as if, you know, somebody put a dent on a beer can and said, you know, this is this dent is a Bud. This is like a Bud can, even though it contains Miller. The question is not trade dress. It's not trade dress alone. It's can they put a TM trademark using top when there are a whole host of alternatives where they have no explanation for it. They say, oh, this was a casual but formal process. And as the court may know from the other cases we've cited, including the Republic Tobacco case, this was a time when there was a great deal of contention between these parties, and when they were making trade dress claims that were ultimately rejected, where they were found to have defamed Republic. This was not a time when this was just a random third party. This is somebody coming into the market, aggressively pursuing top by taking its 106-year-old mark and creating confusion as to its use. The degree of care that consumers might use, again, as I said, relatively low. And at the wholesale level, we're concerned about people ordering off of lists. The only thing I guess I could say, Judge Easterbrook, in response to your question, you know, why don't we have affidavits, why don't we have that sort of testimony yet, is that as soon as we saw this on December 22, 2005, we sent a cease and desist letter. We followed that up with discussions, and when those were unfruitful, we then filed this lawsuit. Why? Because we wanted them to stop, because we felt anybody in the industry would know that when you put top TM on a tobacco product that's being distributed by McLean's and E.B. Brown, Hackney's, and all the same people who distribute our stuff, who sell it in stores that are sold through our stuff, people are going to think there's an affiliation. People may think it comes from the same source. People may think it's a fresher version of the original top. And those factors are all keys. I now see that I'm into my rebuttal time. So let me just summarize this portion of what I'd like to say. There are 7 factors, not just one. 4 factors, when you look at the Rule 56.1 statement, raise important issues of fact. They are intent, the similarity of the marks. And frankly, I haven't covered this, but there's the whole sound-alike issue. Fresh top sounds just like fresh top. There's the degree of care. Again, issues of fact. Strength of the marks. This is an old, long-lasting, and strong mark.
How about Zig-Zag's mark? Is that an old and strong mark?
Zig-Zag is an old mark in cigarette papers. It has been right. Used with cigarette papers since at least the turn of the century. But in terms of, for example, Topps papers are flat. It would be interesting if we interleaved our papers and said it was in a Zig-Zag package, whether they would have a concern with that. My guess is that they would, even if our trade dress
were
completely different.
I just wonder if the strength of Zig-Zag dilutes a little bit the concern that, I mean, if it had just come on the market and then gone with the fresh top canister versus on the confusion point.
Right. I think if Zig-Zag had been selling tobacco since 1900, that would be one thing. They didn't start selling tobacco until 1999. They may be famous, but not for tobacco. Finally, there's 2 areas, same product, same channels of distribution, where they supply no evidence. That clearly goes our way. So 6 out of the 7 factors either go our way undisputedly, or there are really strong issues of fact that the trial court ignored. On actual confusion, there's no evidence either way. I take the court's point that this is an area where You might normally want to put in greater evidence, but the case law is very clear that the absence of evidence doesn't cut either way. If that rule is going to change, if you have to come in with evidence on that, if that single factor outweighs the other seven, we should at least have a chance to go back to the trial court and provide that evidence. I'll be back in rebuttal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mr. Garcia.
May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honors. Certainly a privilege to appear before you this morning on behalf of North Atlantic and National Tobacco in support of Judge Cannelli's decision to grant summary judgment in favor of North Atlantic and National Tobacco. I submit, Your Honors, that at the end of the day, or the beginning of the day and the end of the day, this case, like all cases, really rests on common sense. And that is the lens through which the evidence ought to be viewed. And the common sense here screams out that there's no way that anyone, any fool using Your Honor's words, or any reasonable person could be or has been confused by the use of this descriptive phrase on the canister.
I don't know about that. Wasn't it Barnum who said, never underestimate the intelligence of the American public? I'm perfectly willing to believe that fools could be confused. It's just that it's agreed that there's no evidence that they have been.
And, Your Honor, I think that's it actually is perhaps the key point here. And there are obviously many factors in the analysis, and the case law is clear about that. But there are also is clear that certain of the factors, depending on the facts and circumstances of the case, are more important. And actual confusion is one of them. And whereas if the products had been on the market for a short time, perhaps, or they hadn't been many sales and so forth, that might not resonate as loudly here. But the Lidman case from this court, Professor McCarthy makes clear that the absence of actual confusion can be extremely telling. And the proof is in the pudding here. After 5 years, millions of sales, thousands of customers, thousands of wholesalers, not one in any circumstance has ever been confused, not one. Price list, canister, not one. Indeed, Top Tobacco itself says that they didn't even notice the use of Fresh Top canister for until December of 2005, which is 4 years after that use began. These canisters are on the record. The first one began in 2001. It's on the front. There were proceedings in the trademark trial and appeal board between the parties. Not a word from Top about it. They didn't even notice. Didn't cause a problem. Nobody was confused. And then it was moved to the side in 2004 to clear up the clutter on the front. So we have thousands of consumers, thousands of wholesalers over the course of the 5 years, and not one has been confused. Not only that, Your Honors, but they didn't even get an affidavit from somebody saying, what do you think about this? Or perhaps a survey, something to fill the hole of the absence of this important evidence in this case. So the proof is in the pudding, I submit to you on the record. So it's not that it doesn't speak either way. The absence of it speaks loudly that there is no confusion and no likelihood of confusion. Judge Canny, your question about it doesn't just say Fresh Top is, I submit, a very important point because it does say Fresh Top canister. It's describing the type of the canister. And the record and the evidence is that it is a type of top that pulls off. And the undisputed, uncontroverted evidence is that the Fresh Top canister was meant to describe that type of top. And now that the new canister doesn't have it, it's not described in that way. The pouch doesn't have it, not described in that way. It is descriptive. Now, the intent point I'll just touch on, because what it comes down to at the end of the day, Mr. Bergen's argument is that we came second. And because we came second, then there must be some evidence of intent because we knew about them. This court's cases are clear that simply coming second is not the test. You have to have evidence of intent to confuse. And Judge Flom, your point is a perfectly good one. We have our own famous mark, Zigzag. and you have another less dominant mark, classic American blend. Judge Cannelli came to the conclusion, and I submit you should as well, that this is trying to associate with our brand, our mark, and by the differences in the packaging, you can see that there's no evidence to try to cause confusion here. Mr. Bergen points out that we...
How old a mark is Zig-Zag?
Very old, Your Honor. I think the evidence in the record is over 100 years, but a long time. Both marks have been around for a long time, Your Honor. Mr. Bergen pointed out, as far as intent goes, that we black out something on the price list and that it's always faxed or faxed frequently. I invite the court's attention to the record at TA 126 and 127. It's not blacked out. It's just a different shade on the price list, and a fifth-generation copy in an appendix certainly doesn't create an issue on intent. We have good, clean copies, if you like, but the TA 126 and 127 says, was it ever faxed? Sure, it's sometimes faxed to wholesalers, and there's no evidence it was blacked out, simply different shades to show the different lines. That's the evidence in the record. Judge Flom, your question on the wholesalers is a critical point, because there was a change in strategy with new counsel coming in after the award of summary judgment, with the focus on the price list and the wholesalers. And in the Dora Oliver case, makes clear that Your Honor, I believe, is familiar with, that wholesalers and retailers, of course, are very sophisticated, particularly in a market where you're dealing with relationships face-to-face and buying product in bulk. And these sophisticated customers are certainly less likely to be confused. And again, not one has come forward evidencing any confusion, no affidavit, no, not even a single witness. I'm happy to talk about the other factors, Your Honors, but I submit at the end of the day, it just comes down to common sense. Judge Cannelli got it exactly right, however you add up the factors. But at the end of the day, nobody's come forward. They didn't notice it for years. They didn't have any evidence of surveys or anything to try to fill the gap in the evidentiary record on these points. And I submit that this opinion ought to be affirmed. Thank you very much.
Counsel, what's the status of the briefing in the attorney's fees appeal?
Your Honor, the appellant's initial brief, Top Tobacco's initial brief, I believe is due in early December. We're set to meet with the settlement conference office of the Seventh Circuit next week, if I'm not mistaken. And then I believe briefing will end at the end of January.
It's not going to be done for quite some time, so it doesn't seem to make sense for us to wait for that appeal to decide this one. Okay, I just wanted to know how close that one was to being done.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you, Ryan.
Anything further, Mr. Bergen?
Yes, sir. To address a couple of the points that were raised. First, in terms of we didn't notice this for 5 years. Sales were zero. And if you look at current sales with their own estimates, you're looking at approximately under 5% of 3% of a market that's about 25% of the American population. That is, if you look at all smokers, 3% of those are roll your own, 4% of that. It's about 12 one-thousandths of 1% of all smokers. It's not an easy sample to come up with of people who buy their product.
I don't understand that number.
Well, let's start with all smokers. That's 25% of the population. And let's look at...
Get rid of that number.
All right. Let's look at RYO, roll your own, and make your own smokers. They are about 3% of all smokers.
Right.
Then you multiply that 3% by about the 4% of that market that they claim. That's a very small number of people. It's roughly 12 thousandths of percent. Now, maybe I've done the math wrong on my feet, but I apologize. The point is they've gone from zero to a relatively small number. The other point, and the more important point, is that they've never pled latches. Latches requires certain elements. To plead latches, they have to show knowledge. That's a question of fact. They have to show an inexcusable delay. They haven't proven that. And they have to show that it's resulted in prejudice to them. They've failed. They haven't even tried to prove those elements.
Well, I think the fact that they what they weren't talking about latches, as I understood the argument, the fact is it wasn't noticeable.
Well, and the point is, I believe, that it's a small sample, but when our people saw it, they did notice it, and as soon as they noticed it, they acted.
Mm-hmm.
The second point is
By your figure, by the way, it works out that they have about 112,000 customers, which one wouldn't think is trivial.
And a population of 300 million?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't say whether it's trivial or not. I think it's a question of fact whether that number is so large that we should have noticed it before we did. But when we did notice it, it was because this appeared on the...
And I assume they've captured some more and are holding them captive someplace in their headquarters building.
I don't have any evidence on that, Your Honor. As to the price list issue, there was questions about that. And Mr. Garcia referred to certain pages in the record. The record's clear. It's black question to their corporate designee, but it's black lettering over a grayed out background on their price list. Answer, yes, sir. Whereas the term fresh top is black lettering against a white background. Answer, yes. And just let me say the black breaks are to make it easy for the trade to see distinctly sections of our price list. So they knew that was how it was going out to the trade, and they did it so that it would be easier to see the individual items. That's fine. But their price list begins to look exactly like ours, and that's when we took notice. Let me turn again to the proof of actual confusion point, because I sense that that's a major issue. Again, if the court's ruling today is that the other six factors are to be ignored, then essentially we have a new test. Even Libman, which they cite as their best case, says it's just one of the factors. If you look at the other six factors, it's clear that there is all the elements for likelihood of confusion. There is factual matter, and let me just go through this quickly. There's factual material in the record on intent. In terms of the functionality and identity of the products, that one's undisputed. Area and manner of dispute, that's undisputed. That goes our way. Degree of consumer care. At the consumer level and at the wholesale level, there are clear issues of fact as to whether people are going to be confused. And not confused as to trade dress, but confused as to affiliation. It's just like when you put PepsiCo on bottled water. We're not saying that the trade dress is the same. We're saying the affiliation is the same. The marks are similar. They sound exactly alike. They are spelled the same. The strength of the mark is unquestioned. And so there's this one point on actual confusion, which we can see there's no evidence in the record yet. But if that is the sole determining factor, then it should be sent back, and we should be given an opportunity to put that in. Considered as a whole, the question that the trial court took away from the jury is whether the undisputed factors and the factors where we believe the facts strongly support Topp's position are sufficient for a jury to return a verdict in Topp's favor. We submit they are. We submit the record is full of facts that demonstrate each of the six factors is satisfied, and under each of those six factors, there is infringement. Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement.